the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now.
Songs of life, they ring from quiet steeples to distant valleys, along the hillsides of lovers' hearts, of lovers' hearts. Come sing your songs of life, and they will keep you from ever wanting, from ever needing, forevermore, forevermore. When the moment's true, they sing so softly to me and you. You know they do, you know they do. So I sing my songs of life that I will hold inside forever, and you will know me, and I'll be yours, and you'll be mine. Oh, and when the moment's true, they sing so softly to me and you. You know they do, you know they do. And I'll sing my songs of life that I may hold you inside forever, and you will know me, and I'll be yours, and you'll be mine.
Well, there we are, Neil Diamond and Songs of Life. And the Midweek Drive continues in its own magical way because we're in the kind of middle of the holiday season. Well, we are really, depending on whether you're listening to this as a podcast or whether you're actually listening to it in the normal Midweek Drive slot on Wednesdays at Siren Radio, in which case you'll have celebrated a fantastic Christmas and indeed you'll be looking forward to the new year. It's all very confusing, but already in the room we have got Hermione Ericleti. How are you, Hermione?
I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent. And we've got Anna Coscanell. How are you, Anna?
I'm good, thank you, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. And from London, England, we've got Anna Lewis. How are you, Anna? Anna's okay. She will be once she actually gets the microphone switched on and she presses the right buttons and all sorts of other bits and pieces happen. It's all good stuff. Hermione, one of the things I want to talk about, if we don't have Kathy's cryptic crossword clue and we don't know what's happening with respect to Florida at all these days, is the whole notion of the party season. Now, are you a party person, or is it a case of, frankly, I could do without those parties, I'm in Southend, I have no wish, desire to actually engage in social matters whatsoever?
I think as I've gotten older, I'm less of a party person. But obviously, if it's a family party, of course, I'll go and I'll enjoy myself. But
Okay.
I think I am definitely one of the people that would prefer to stay inside.
So an indoors person, though. Well, actually, up in Edinburgh, somebody who is clearly a party person and will have lots of tips for actually dealing with the party season is William Coles. William, welcome to the Midweek Drive once again. How are you? And are you a party person?
Very much so. I love parties. The more, the merrier. I mean, 3 a night is best. Yeah.
Three a night. Anna, that sounds like a challenge. I mean, in Romania, in Bucharest, or indeed in Coventry, is it a case of, yes, if we don't have at least three parties per night, frankly, we don't know what's going on, really.
Myself, not free, but from time to time, I think the party's pretty good.
Anna, what about yourself? Hopefully your microphone's been sorted out now. What sort of party person are you, if any? Probably frozen in the whole thing, basically. Anna seems to be frozen in time in some sort of bizarre sort of way. Okay, let's move on. Hopefully Anna Lewis will connect with us, or else she won't. And that's all part and parcel of the richness is there. Are you back with us, Anna? Have you unfrozen? No. Never mind. Okay, let's progress ever onwards. William, what tips do you have for somebody like Hermione who's basically sort of thinking, maybe she's not as much of a party person as she used to be.
Preloading is the key. This is what my kid's doing all the time before the party starts. You're having a nice gin and tonic just to set you up. So before you've even arrived at the party, you're pretty merry. Otherwise, you're just going to the party from a complete standing start. Alcohol is the answer.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I'd necessarily want to endorse that side of things there. I mean, Anna, is it a case of preloading for yourself, or is it a case of no? I prefer to actually just use the oxygen of sociality to actually connect with us.
I think a bit of both. And I don't know what to say about the oxygen part since we're talking about indoor parties. So there's not much oxygen going on there. But I think it's if you drink responsibly and you are behaving and well behaved and stuff, a bit of drinking will never hurt anyone. I mean, it will just make you a bit more amusing and sociable. At least that's my case.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, I tend to think that the person who actually is doing the drinking probably thinks that they're very, very entertaining and sociable, and actually they're not. You know, it's just one of those things, and you just want to say, just don't do it. Think of the liver. That's my particular part of things. I know Anna's been doing lots of strange things with respect to switching camera off, switching camera on, etc. If she unbuttons her microphone, maybe she'll be sorted out and unmuted. Are you back with us, Anna Lewis?
I'm a bit of a Luddite. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Anna. All's well. And we've been talking about parties. So, are you a party person, or is it a case of, well, unless there's a graveyard or some historical background there, frankly, count me out? No, she's gone quiet again. How very strange. Nevertheless, we can hopefully say, Cathy Manso, I know you're a party person, so the question is moot when it comes to yourself. Do you have any tips? I mean, William Coles has rightly said, well, I say rightly, in his own mind, he's rightly said, preloading is the way forward. What about yourself in Florida?
Sorry, I came in real in clutch in this. What tips am I giving out about Florida?
Parties. Are you a party person first and foremost? And if you are, what is your advice for people, maybe like Hermione, not that I'm pointing a finger here, but might have they've kind of fallen out of love with the whole party sequence, basically.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think especially the older I get, I mean, I am a party person, and by party, I think I just mean to say I socialize and I enjoy music and I'll eat and dance and partake in activities like that. But I think as I get older, I care more about the quality time I'm with people and not strangers. So like house parties, doing like great dinners with people and then having a chance to play your own music, talk or dance. And then, if you want to go out to a bar just with your friends, but not like the it bar, not the one where there's a line outside waiting. More like go to your local dive bar where no one's going to be there and you can still continue hanging out with friends, but like politely have them out of your home because you'd like to go home and sleep.
Well, you're nodding, Anna. I'm not sure if you sorted out again your things. Is that something which appeals to yourself now you're based in London, or is it a case of you've changed dramatically since you moved from Jersey?
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. I think COVID's changed a lot of things. If I think about life before COVID, I think it was far easier to go and visit people and get together. And then since that, even though COVID's kind of got gone-ish, you still have that guilt when you go out anywhere. I joined a rock choir. I went to one session and I caught COVID again. There were too many people in the room. Parties are not, they are for socializing, and you're too close up and personal with people. So yeah, I think since COVID, I think I've really toned it down a bit. I'm not so, quite such a social animal as I was before.
The solution surely hazmat suits for all. But never mind, that's probably just me and myself talking. Now, Willie will be able to acknowledge the fact, as indeed will the other folk in the room, that in tribute to obviously the William Coles environment, I have indeed used as a backdrop, because I'm in a different sort of studio. We're not in the Siren Radio studios for this. We've actually got Edinburgh Castle. So I hope you appreciate that, William. That was just for yourself, really. I could have gone Miami. I could have gone Bucharest, but I thought, no, I'd go Edinburgh Castle. Kathy, do we have a cryptic crossword clue? And it might help if you unmute yourself. Otherwise, we'll just have to lip read. Honestly,
Sorry,
sometimes.
it's been a long day, So, all right, my clue for today is little kid. Three letters. The second letter is an O.
Little kid, three letters, second letter an O. Hermione, any thoughts?
I'm lost.
No.
I have no clue.
I mean, could the third letter be a Y, perhaps?
Does not.
Oh, so obviously it isn't boy, as in little kid, which is clearly that's the. Anna, any thoughts from yourself? Oh, Anna's got something about. William, you're looking bemused. You're looking bemused.
I've got a little sod.
If I reckon it's tot.
It is taut.
Oh, I
Yay!
got it right. Yay! You
Oh,
see, there you
brilliant.
go. Who needs party games in person when you've got the Zoom room of Kathy Manso and her Kathy's cryptic crossword clues? Tot. Yes, extraordinary. So, I mean, Kathy, was that from the New York Times as well?
It is. It's the little daily crossword. I did today's crossword in 58 seconds, so I felt quite
Wow.
accomplished.
Oh, wow.
Fifty-eight
It's the
seconds.
little crossword. Like there's only, seven, 10 answers, so you get through it quick.
Yeah. Okay, William, we're back to yourself. You've got Hermione from Southend. You've got Anna, currently in Coventry, but originally from Bucharest. You've got Kathy, currently in Miami, but possibly coming to Edinburgh, possibly going to Manchester. We don't know what 2024 has in store as yet for her geographical location. And we've got Anna Lewis, of course, a historian from London. Do you have a general question, or do you have a specific person you'd like to throw some questions to?
Manso.
I'm here for you. What's up?
I have two sons, Geordie and Dexter. They are aged 21 and 18. Now, getting Christmas presents for them is particularly tricksy. They want good stuff, but they're never giving me any advice about what they want. I just have to deliver the present, and then they just give it the thumbs up, or more commonly, the thumbs down. So, best Christmas present ever. What do you recommend? What's been your best Christmas present ever, and what would you recommend?
Oh, that's a hard one, but I think my favorite Christmas gifts have definitely been the ones that I get more use out of. So, and as you get older, the things you get more use out of are the things either advanced in technology or house products. They're too young for the house products. They will appreciate that in 5 years' time, but not yet. So, I think especially when my family know that I have an interest in music and audio in general, they've kind of been really good about surprising me with the classics are usually like a speaker or headphones, but they've also gotten really creative with some of their ideas that I would have never considered getting myself. Like, one of the weirdest ones I got was like a voice note reminder that was It's the size of a box, but you kind of use it as a voice recorder, but it has a timer to remind you when to listen to it again to get things done. So if you're more of an audio person, that was just like, I would have never asked for that, but it's been just useful in my own life. But I think, presents that are typically, what do you see them do every day? Because if you see them like going out into town with their friends, then what's something that can make the journey to their friends more enjoyable? Or, or if they're solitary and you see them at home, what are they like doing at home that's keeping them distracted?
A girlfriend.
There you go.
Well, as a present.
Yeah. How do I fix up a girlfriend for them?
All right, excellent, excellent question. I think, with the ladies on this team, we can help out with this situation. First of all, go out with your sons and be the embarrassing dad that you know you can be. And then the girls will typically find it endearing and will be like, oh my God, this guy is crazy. Who is he? And then your sons are going to have to pretend they don't know you for a second and go on with the joke. And this will create the bonding moment. And then they can reveal, actually, this is my dad and it's going to be fine.
Okay, I like that one. We're gonna give them a bit of improv.
Exactly.
If it helps, I can reveal that one midweek driver today actually sent a Christmas present to me, which was much gratefully received, actually. Not a midweek driver actually on this particular Zoom scenario, so I just want to make that quite clear. A hairy water bottle, a hairy hot water bottle to be precise, or indeed a furry one, perhaps, as opposed to a hairy one. I don't think the actual fur is real. Hope it isn't anyway, but still, never mind. Who knows? Maybe it's just a commentary on life and the various other bits and pieces. Anna, anything to add to Kathy's excellent suggestions for the young people in Bill Coles's life?
Yeah, well, I'm at that time of life where experiences are more meaningful than objects. So I go to WH Smith and look at some of the experiences they've got. It might be something silly like go-karting in Bournemouth or something, or a voucher for something that you can do or he can do with the girlfriend or with another friend. Because I just think they're more memorable. I mean, how many pairs of headphones and speakers do you need? And what do you do with your old ones? But I think experiences are unique. So I would go for something like that, something a bit off the wall and a bit different.
I always feel we should actually subtitle this section of the Midweek Drive, How to Actually Assist with Bill Coles's Domestic Life. But it helps in so many ways. Anna, anything you could actually add to the mix?
Which Anna?
Anna,
Sorry, I'll
sorry,
check out.
Anna from Romania. I should make that quite clear. You're quite right. Exactly. Yeah.
I think what Kathy said, that you have to watch them and see what they're doing to find the present is quite good. I mean, I'm thinking of a PS4, maybe a PS5 if they like video games. But if you don't want them to stay indoors, which most of the teens do, a car?
A car.
Winner, winner. Let me tell you,
I don't know.
not
I am
only
22. I like home appliances. I mean, I know I'm getting for Christmas or at the beginning of the year, I'm getting a coffee machine and I'm also getting a vacuum cleaner and I'm actually so happy about that. So I like home appliances. So, and I'm buying a chair, like a special chair for Christmas for my boyfriend. So I also buy this kind of stuff. So I think they're really useful.
Who would have thought that some 50 years after the height of the 60s, people would be happy with home appliances and furnishings? So it just goes to show, really. That's what the whole revolution was all about. And Hermione?
I would say I'd have to agree with a bit of what everyone said. I think Kathy's saying that you should like see what they do, what they're interested in, that kind of thing. I think that's very important. But I'd say I completely agree with Anna from the University of Lincoln, because I am hoping to get a coffee machine, a hairdryer, and I think, especially if they're older, like around mine and Anna's age, I think it is quite helpful if you're getting them like things that are a bit on the more expensive side, but like it's still a kind of like a novelty thing. But I don't know, maybe I'm just
And
being
Of course, Bill, you
Good
could
point.
actually go for a car, just a matchbox car, unless, of course, the author sales have been going very well this year, which is obviously another line entirely.
Yeah, I don't think a matchbox car is going to cut it. They'd be thinking, oh, this is a small box. It's going to be something really expensive and nice, you know, some solid gold cufflinks. And then they discover that it's a little dinky toy. I think they might be enraged by that and
It's the
think,
thought
say,
that counts, William. It's the thought that counts.
okay, might try it just to see what the reaction is. I'll record the reaction and
Please.
then blame it on you.
Well, I mean, obviously, we've taken a lot of flack over the years, so why not add the ire of the Coles household as well? Kathy, any questions you'd like to put to the team, or indeed any specific individual?
I guess. This is to the whole team, and my question is, what? This, yeah, we'll make it to Christmas. We'll focus it. First, has there been a Christmas where you had to delay the celebration because there was an accident or an incident? Did things go awry?
Okay, William.
Yes, plenty of those. I used to work on the Sun, and during the Christmas shifts, the reporters with families would get Christmas off, and the reporters who did not have girlfriends or families, they had to work over Christmas, so the whole Christmas shindig would be postponed by about 4 or 5 days, as I did worked. I'd work about 5 or 6 days back to back from Christmas Eve through to about the 28th, 29th, and normally get Hogmanay off. Yes, so normally my Christmas would be postponed by about 5 or 6 days.
You see the sheer wonderment of working for Rupert Murdoch's press organisation, which and the sacrifices that have to be made accordingly. Anna Lewis.
I remember inviting my next door neighbours in Folkestone around for Christmas lunch, and I had never done a turkey before. And I think I put it in about 9 o'clock in the morning, and by 7 in the evening, it still wasn't cooked. And we had a
Had
very
you
sort
switched
of
the oven
delayed
on?
Christmas lunch. It was a struggle to get the wretched thing in the oven in the first place. I didn't sort of do measurements on it to see whether it would fit comfortably. But no, we eventually ate. It must have been about 8, 7 or 8 in the evening. That was Christmas lunch, so that was slightly delayed. Never again.
Anna from Romania.
Just once, where I had to work actually for Christmas a couple of years ago. I was working at a company, and there were some cards lost, but not because of us. They should have been shipped from the UK to Romania, and they shipped them to our old address that was like from 5 years prior. And it was one of the CEO's cards, and for the director of another department, and everybody was like really going crazy after those cars. So I remember we went to the office on 25th, and we were like searching frenetically if like the DHL shipped them, and we just did not see them, or if they weren't shipped. And then we went home like late in the afternoon, and then the next day we got a call from someone from the UK that told us, oh, they were shipped to a different to a completely different address. And yeah, that was that.
So, were these just Christmas cards or were they special cards?
No, they weren't Christmas cards. They were so the company I was working at, some of the employees had to travel for work, and instead of getting their expenses paid, they were given these kind of cards with money already on them. And you know, banks usually send them the card in one envelope, and a few days later the PIN for the card. So they send them together, the PIN plus the card, and they send them to the wrong address. And these were for, like I told you, the CEO and the manager or director of another department for like clinical research. And it was such a mess.
Corporate challenges. always important. Probably never occurred with the Sun newspaper at all in any sort of way, shape, or form. But so there it goes. And Hermione.
The only thing I've had close to you guys' experience is a couple of years ago, I was working for a local business from here, from home, and it was a very it was a child centered orientated kind of job. And so the lead up to Christmas was a very, very big thing. We'd be there from about 8:30 in the morning, and then we wouldn't leave until sometimes 11 at night. But yeah, and then doing that up until the very last minute on Christmas Eve, that was a bit stressful.
Oh, well, that's
I've got
the
my act to
sacrifice
Christmas, so it's okay.
that works through that. Anna, let's throw to you. Any questions you have always secretly wanted to ask this team when we've been doing all sorts of musical things and other such like stuff in the traditional Midweek Drive lives? You've always said, I've always wanted to actually ask Anna from Bucharest this question, or not? And
Oh
she's
dear,
frozen
there are.
again. She has indeed. So it's astounding. Okay, let's go to the next little staple, which we've got. Which, of course, are you back with us, Anna Lewis?
Oh yes, I'm here. I'm here, yes.
Sorry.
I one of the things I'd like to ask is what is the weirdest present everyone has received? The weirdest out of all the gifts that you've ever had from childhood to now, what's the weirdest thing you've been given?
Hermione.
I was just trying to think. I don't think I've ever been given something that's like really that odd. I mean, actually, one of my aunts gave me a like doll for Christmas, but like it was even now, everyone knows I'm like deathly afraid of dolls. And so it was just like, oh, okay, did this get mixed up? No, oh, okay.
Is that all dolls? Is it Cabbage Patch dolls? Is it Barbie dolls? Is it dolls in the general sort of state of affairs? Is it ventriloquist dolls? Or is
Not
it just
like
a
Barbie
general doll
dolls.
phobia?
Not generally, but like the like baby dolls with like the glass eyes. They freak
Oh.
me out. I can't. And it was one of them ones as well. It wasn't just a normal Barbie doll, which made it even worse.
Anna from Coventry.
I was 5. And one, it was for Easter, and one of my uncles gave me a little duckling, and it was so sweet and alive, obviously. And I used to put it in the stroller, the doll stroller, and I was going around the house with the duckling, and I was putting it on the doll bed, and I was sleeping next to it, and it was so sweet. And then one day when I was in kindergarten, my parents gave it to a friend there, and they took it to the countryside. And I kept asking about that duckling for like 3 years, and each time they were saying, "Ah, oh, it's doing wonderful," but it wasn't.
Did it turn into what?
Well, can you say
Did
again, please?
it turn into a swan?
Yeah, I think so.
Wondrous.
Unfortunately, it was the sweetest duckling. I swear, I swear. And after that. After that, I swear to God that I'm going to get one when I'm going to grow up and have my own home.
Cathy Manso, any pet alligators that you've ever been given in obviously the swamps of Florida?
Wow, we're really going with the stereotypes, are we? No alligators. I'm trying to think of the weirdest gift, but I think the one that really deceived me the most was I was dating someone, and as you guys know, I do journalism, and so I have a really nice camera, and I see the box as I'm taking out of the present bag, whatever. It looks like a lens, and I go, I can't believe this person has gotten me such an expensive gift. Like, that's crazy. And I can't even see what type of lens it is because of the box that it's in or whatever. And I go, this is, and they're so excited to give this to me. And I go, I don't know if I can accept something so expensive. And then I start to investigate it further, and it ended up being, those cups that look like things. And it was a cup that looks like a lens, and he thought it was hysterical. And And I was like, wow, I went through so many emotions in a 1 minute span of getting this gift. I was going, thank you. And I think it became a cup where you hold loose change in, because it ended up like I couldn't even hold water in it because there was a crack in it or something.
It was a pre-loved cup, obviously, which is good. You know, we maintain sort of good pre-loved presence very well. William, what about yourself?
My family have not been very hot. This is my parents and my brother were never very hot on Christmas presents. And one day, my brother on Christmas Day, he brought round a dead deer that was A, still warm, and B, had not been
Venison,
wrapped.
William. Venison, that's what it was.
It was a long way from being venison, because I think he'd run it over. It didn't have it hadn't been shot, and it also needed to be gralloped. Gralloped is gutted, and there is a lot of blood. Anyway, so the spent an hour gralloping this beast and then hang it up. So in the end, it was quite tasty, but I can tell it was weird. I think that he might have seen it by the side of the road and thought, yeah, that'll be a perfect present for Billy.
Was it good though? Because it was on the side of the road. How long was it?
The British law is that you can't pick up an animal that you have hit, but the next person can pick it up. And so if it's by the side of the road and it's still warm, then it's probably going to be okay.
Wow, I can't wait to move back.
Yeah, I mean, roadkill is a whole new topic, which we can obviously look towards in 2024. Anna, any other little historical moments you'd like to share with us in terms of your investigations around the highways and byways of the capital, which we call London?
Oh, but can I go just go back a space and ask you what
Absolutely.
the weirdest present you've ever had? Because you haven't answered that one.
Oh, well, I
So,
mean, probably my
what's
furry hot
behind
water bottle, which is particularly
that?
strange in its own way. I need no more short-term memory. It's all we can remember. You know, came this morning, knock on the door, postman was there. What is this? It's a furry water bottle. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Anyway, yes. So, any other sort of little points you'd like to make, Anna, in our closing sequence and segments before we move into Kevin Mountford from Raisin Finance?
Yeah, just to throw it in the arena, I'm not a panto person, but I suggest if anybody can get to a panto this year, it would lighten the mood. The one I went to see, Dick Whittington, was actually really, really funny. And I never thought I'd enjoy a panto since I was a kid. I haven't been, but believe you me, it's for adults just as well, much as it is for children.
Well,
So yes.
speaking, of course, of pantomime, Hermione and Anna were our official designated midweek drive folk who went to the new Theatre Royal Lincoln's pantomime. Now, Anna, you gave us your thoughts on the whole thing. Hermione, chance for you to actually share what you made of Aladdin at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln.
I really, really enjoyed it. And me and Anna were saying about how the just everything about the panto was just so immersive as well. And their little, I love the fact that they have a little disco ball in the corner. And I think they have one on each side of the stage. And it is just so iconic. It's just amazing. But yeah, we were saying about how we loved how interactive and immersive it was. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I can see our lovely faces as Alex's background.
I've just thrown up a selfie that was taken by Hermione and Anna when they were on duty at the new Theatre Royal Lincoln.
How lovely. But yeah,
Marks out of 10, Hermione.
out of 10. Oh, well, Aladdin did have an Essex accent, so I'd have to give it a 9. I felt represented, so definitely a 9.
And Anna, your first ever British pantomime. Would you agree with Anna in London that it's well worth going to?
Yes, definitely. I had such a good time there.
Of course, Kathy, you would have been going as well, but of course you're not in the country now, so who knows, maybe the Easter pantomime. But then again, maybe not. Who knows? William, when was the last time you were at a pantomime?
Haven't been for 10 years, but yeah, they're always pretty good fun. But I need kids. I'm not going to go by myself or with adults. Yeah, if you've got kiddies, it's great. Otherwise, you look a bit weird. Or maybe you don't.
No, I think I'd
No,
agree
I
with the
went on
former.
my own. I went on my own, and I didn't mind. It was fine.
There we are. So, what are our thoughts for 2024? Let's start off with William. What things have you got planned, or indeed hopes for at least the opening months of 2024?
I'm hoping to get to Wimbledon as a linesman. That is my bizarre quest.
And that's why you've been missing so many midweek drives over the last few weeks when you've been doing those tennis routines. It has had an end goal, an end game in sight there.
I'm trying to get to Wimbledon, yeah, and I will find out in March. And if I don't make it, there will be much howling and screaming. Yes, I was in Stirling University yesterday doing the Scottish finals, and so I'm trekking all over the country to B-list places to pay my dues and hopefully get to Wimbledon. That is the dream, my impossible dream.
Well, you have to dream an impossible dream and fight the unbeatable fight. Otherwise, who knows what windmills you could actually sort of look to battle. Hermione, your thoughts on 2024? What are you looking for in the first few months at least?
In the first few months, I'm definitely looking forward to getting all my coursework handed in, all my assignments. Finally, that's going to be a weight off my shoulders. I'm very looking forward to our Real Client project and meeting Sarah Bullimore from the Newark Book Festival. And yeah, I'm just excited to be coming back to uni, getting more work done, and just being productive.
Spoken like a true millennial. Anna, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting older, and I'm looking forward to receiving my first pair of hearing aids at some point in the new year, which I hope will transform my life. So yes, that's what I'm looking forward to in 2024.
Okay, and Anna from Lincoln, Coventry, and Bucharest.
Firstly, for that coffee machine. To be honest, I'm just so looking forward to that. And second of all, I don't know, not only for the first few months, but altogether, I just want to be happy. I just want it to be a good year, and I just want to be happy. Finish uni, finish it with honors, then find, I don't know, something that I really love doing and just continue doing it. And oh, I want to be happy.
There we are. Sage words indeed, probably echoed by Benjamin Netanyahu, hopefully, and maybe even his Hamas counterpart. Hopefully, they just want to be happy as well from that point of view. And let's have a proper scenario. Kathy, obviously, you'd be looking forward to the re-election of Donald Trump in the White House, which is looking more and more odds on these days. Although I gather one state has actually banned him from actually standing there, which is
Yes.
outrageous, surely. It's anti-democratic. It's Joe Biden bad for democracy. It's all of those things. But what else are you looking forward to in 2024, Kathy?
I think it's very democratic if they were able to find it within the US Constitution, Colorado, but you know, that's my two cents. Anyway, I'm looking forward to moving to Scotland. That's my dream right
That
now,
is
moving to
definite.
Edinburgh.
Manchester is now out of the picture.
You
Scotland
know, I
has
just had
won.
to be real with myself. I had to pick a spot and I want to go there. And so, and I guess very similar to Anna, moving, settling and being happy.
There you go. And which part of Scotland? Are you Glasgow or Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Wow. There you are. Who would have thought that, William, that you might have another midweek driver literally on your doorstep as opposed to just a quick visit that most of us done in the past. But still, life continues. Up next, as mentioned, we're going to find out how to actually save funds and do some micro savings if you're interested in that. From the point of view of Kevin Mountford from the Raisin Savings Organisation. For the moment, though, as we wrap up this particular segment of the programme, Hermione, Anna, Kathy, William, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today, William Coles?
Yes, I've loved it. Thank you so much for having me. And in the words of Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone.
Exactly what I'll be wrapping up the programme with, probably with Armin Shimerman and others in the second hour of the programme. Anna, has it been good for you? And Lewis, that is.
Yes, it's been absolutely splendid. And I wish everybody a really good next couple of weeks. So I hope it all works out well for everybody.
There you are. And Hermione, Anna, and Kathy, we might see you in the second part of the programme, which for the listener to Siren Radio will be probably just after 6 o'clock. Whereas for the podcast listener, it'll be whenever you wish to actually play and press the second button. So there you go. For now, William, any particular musical track you'd like us to play for you? Because I feel we should award you this. Let's see if we can dig out something for yourself.
Andy Williams, Dream the Impossible Dream.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know, let my heart lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to fight the unbeatable foe, to reach the unreachable star.
What is the situation when it comes to your finances at Christmas? Well, apparently it will take several months to actually pay off our Christmas debts. So clearly we need to actually make sure that we can get our savings in place, etc. And recent research suggests that the average festive spend works out pretty much at just under £70 on family, £30 on friends, £35 on going out, £42 for the Christmas dinner, and so on and so forth. This is research from Raisin, and so we're delighted to be able to welcome to the programme, ahead of these festive scenarios, etc., or indeed possibly just during them, personal financial expert and indeed co-founder of savings platform Raisin, it's Kevin Madford. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, all good. And interesting in terms of, clearly, we're not necessarily advocating a Scrooge approach to Christmas, but we are possibly suggesting that maybe you need to think very seriously about whether you can afford the kind of things which you would have thought would be a standard Christmas scenario. In other words, try and avoid a spending splurge. Is that the key takeaway?
Yeah, pretty much. I think overspending at Christmas, you know, let's face it, it's nothing new. But I mean, this year in particular, I think for many households, they'll be looking forward to maybe the first normal Christmas they've had since 2019. And as you say, the kind of cumulative impact on what we spend on means that British households are likely to spend somewhere between £500 and £1,000. And obviously people's circumstances differ. But, you know, at the end of the day, the pressure we feel to make Christmas perfect, but with the cost of living crisis, I think we just need to ask ourselves whether, you know, getting into debt is worth it for 1 or 2 days celebration. And I think with that in mind, particularly with TV, social media, you start comparing your own celebrations with others, the way the house is decorated, pricey gifts and all that kind of thing. So maybe we just need to reevaluate what perfect Christmas actually looks like.
and possibly get in touch with the real meaning of Christmas and so on, which means looking at things, as we've talked about over the last few weeks, such as re-gifting, pre-love presents, other sort of aspects with respect to that. As you rightly said, Kevin, there is a kind of almost media splurge, which really has been running for the last 2 or 3 months, which suggests the ideal Christmas, which, of course, is unrealistic in so many cases, because it's a fantasy and it's a dream, and perhaps we need to, whilst acknowledging the spirit and meaning of Christmas, not necessarily decide to say, oh, well, we've got to have that and that, and obviously have a lot of challenges when it comes to January and beyond.
Yeah, and you know, days leading up to Christmas, I mean, there's a full weekend before Christmas Day. The hospitality retail industry will hope that we go out and spend lots of money. In fact, Saturday the 23rd of December is deemed to be Super Saturday, where it'll be a record day for in-store expenditure. But at the end of the day, and whilst that's okay for the economy, if individuals are left with debt that they can't pay back. But it's interesting on the sentiment, because I do think, and again, excuse me, some of this comes out in our research. During the pandemic, I think we realised time spent with friends, family and loved ones is important. And from the research we carried out at Raisin, 33% of the women that responded said they're going to spend less money this year, but spend more time with family. So I think it's the quality around it. And equally, as I say, maybe it's a reset for what constitutes a perfect Christmas.
I mean, just one basic one, which I must admit I've tended to adhere to this year, is rather than actually posting Christmas cards, use e-cards as a way of actually spreading Christmas cheer from that point of view. Certainly with the cost of postage being what it is, it's getting a little bit more problematic in terms of actually putting a whole wedge of cards into the post.
It is, and we decided on sending just a handful of cards this year, particularly where we've got friends, family overseas. And my wife coming back saying, you know, what you'd just spent on postage stamps. And I was like, goodness gracious, you know, that plus the cost of the card. So they're like kind of practical examples. I think you talked earlier about regifting. what we're seeing is that people are now trying to set a certain budget for presents for individuals, and actually taking a kind of Secret Santa approach to it. So everybody's working to a fixed budget might mean that you come up with something a bit more apt and appropriate for the recipient, so that adds a nice little angle to it. But yeah, and we're also, you know, from our research, some people are saying we'll give cash or gift cards, but we'll actually go out on the Boxing Day sales because we're more likely to get more for our money then. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it just means that, you know, we are being a bit more conscientious on what we do leading up to Christmas, but that doesn't remove the fact that some will go into debt. And as I say, on average, it'll take 4 months to pay off.
Yeah, I mean, looking ahead to Christmas 2024, which you might sort of think, but that's months away. Well, actually, it does come around fairly quickly. I can remember us having a conversation back in Christmas 2022, and we're thinking about Christmas 2023. But micro-saving, that's an interesting suggestion that you put forward in terms of ways in which you can start saving very much for next year.
Yeah, and I think this again goes back to the lockdown period. as a nation, we were saving more money than maybe we would ever done, but a lot of those daily spends we clearly couldn't undertake. And what we were looking at, that even if you think about going back into the workplace now, one or two coffees a day, what's that, £5-6? Even if you cut that out, possibly make one in the office instead of, you know, buying packed lunches when you go out, then maybe take something into work with you. But even if it's £3-5 a day, if you put that away, £20 a week, you know, and you multiply that across several months, it then gives you a nice pot. And whether it's even a holiday you're contributing to or you want to save for next Christmas, I think even though you might not be able to save the total amount you spend, psychologically, the fact your savings make a meaningful contribution, I think that's an important step in itself. Mm.
And avoiding impulse buys, of course, the bane of so many scenarios where certainly it's so easy to just point and click on the web, or indeed, as I say, if you're actually going out to save the high street, there are issues there where you just have to think very carefully, possibly actually have lists of things that you need to purchase before you actually take the plunge.
I think that's important. And this year, we've used cash more than we've done for over a decade. And I do think that's where people think, right, I'm going to go out with £50 in my purse or my wallet, and when it's spent, that's it. Because otherwise, with contactless, we all fall foul of tap and go. And it's only when you get your bank statement through that you realise how much you've actually spent. So I think, again, it's a sign that we're trying to take a bit more of a disciplined approach to things, which is certainly a good thing.
So finally, Kevin, is Raisin the platform to go to actually find out further details about this research and more?
Yes, and if anybody wants to start saving or they've got money that they want to maximise the return, then definitely go to our savings platform, which is Raisin, RAISIN.co.uk.
Well, it was a pleasure. Kevin Mountford, personal finance expert and co-founder of savings platform Raisin. Doubtless we'll speak in 2024.
I hope so. But in the meantime, have a great Christmas and hope your listeners have the same.
Christmas. is there.